Did you celebrate Grandparents' Day yesterday with a grandparent or a grandchild? If not, you still have time to do something grand. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Monday, September 8th. Our guest this hour says grandparents can make a big difference in the lives of children and vice versa. Her group is working on celebrating grandparents and crossing the generational divide all year long. Share with us a special memory or a lesson or a meaningful experience that you've had with your grandparents or grandparents. How close are you with your grandchildren? What special times would you like to share? Have you learned anything from your grandchildren? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. And we'll also be interested to know if you do any kind of volunteer work to improve the life of an older person or a younger person. How do you reach across generational lines? Let me welcome our guest. Donna Butts is Executive Director of Generations United. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. Great to be with you.
Yeah, thanks for being back with us. So yesterday was Grandparents' Day. What is the purpose of Grandparents' Day?
Well, Grandparents' Day was originally started as a time to honor and acknowledge the role that grandparents play in children's lives. And we think that that's very important, that we honor our older adults, whether they're grandparents by blood or grandparents by being great neighbors, whatever that may be. But we also think it's a wonderful opportunity to call on all older adults to do something grand.
Yeah, and what do you mean by do something grand?
There are a number of ways that people can do something grand. They can be engaged in a child's life. They can be that other caring adult who might be in the local neighborhood, or it might be in your own family. But we know that children thrive when they have another caring older adult in their life. So it can be as simple as reading to a child, sharing history, sharing a love of your community. There are many, many things that people can do.
Yeah. So how do we know that, how can children thrive by having an older adult in their lives?
Well, it really, really helps when you have somebody who loves you unconditionally. But it's also that extra attention, because parents are busy and they're working, they're commuting, there's a lot of things going on. And it's really great when a child has that extended network, somebody that believes in them, somebody that helps them know about their roots, whether it's the roots in their community or the roots in their family, somebody to cheer them on. And there's great, great stories about older adults who have made a difference in the lives of children.
Yeah, that's, I can imagine. But it's also important that we celebrate grandparents and celebrate the older adults in our lives.
Oh, you're very, very right. Oftentimes older adults, I sometimes talk about our younger and older people as being sort of the ones that are left on the sidelines, because we think that they've either already contributed or they're not ready to contribute. And in fact, older adults deserve to be thanked and acknowledged for the contributions that they've made throughout their lives. But there's also so much more, if they're inclined, that they can still do. But you're right. It's really important that we thank the people who came before us that helped to build our country, our communities, that helped raise our families, and that made sacrifices.
Yeah. So what if we, well, in my case, and I imagine there are a number of listeners there, my grandparents are gone. You know, rest their souls. And I don't have living grandparents anymore, but I can still celebrate and help older adults that might be, and that's what I kind of like, a neighbor in my neighborhood.
You're really right. One of the things we know is that older adults really want to be able to age in place. They want to be able to age in their own homes. And oftentimes they become isolated if they don't have relatives near them. And so all of us, whether it's the neighbor next door, or if there's a senior citizen center, an older adult community, we can all volunteer, and even a visit, just having somebody listen to you and hear those stories. I remember an older gentleman in England once in an oral history project who at age 79 said, "I never knew my life meant anything to anybody until somebody actually asked him about it."
Well, And what if we do, though, live very far from our families? How can we still stay connected or still celebrate Grandparents' Day or Grandparents' Year, for that matter?
I like Grandparents' Year.
Yeah.
That's great, Joy. There are many ways. One of the wonders of technology now is sometimes you hear about people being worried that technology is going to separate people. But in fact, polls of older adults who get online or who get engaged in technology say it actually helps them feel closer to people. Older adults get on Facebook because they want to see pictures of their grandchildren, or they learn how to Skype because they want to talk or read stories with their grandchildren. So technology, whether it's a telephone, whether it's over Facebook, whether it's texting, there are ways that people can still stay connected. And creative grandparents have come up with some great ways of having regular conversations, of sharing books, of stories, of recipes, of doing things together by using technology when they're not really close to their grandchildren.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of funny because I have a friend on Facebook who posted a picture of herself and her grandchild, one of her grandchildren, yesterday, and I realized I'm old enough to be a grandparent. You know, I mean, it's I'm not, but you think of grandparents as sometimes I think, someone who is in their 80s or something like that, whereas there are a lot of grandparents right now who are in their 50s and early 60s.
You're right. The median age of a grandparent is, I think, late 40s.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody once said, I never knew a grandparent could be so young until I became one.
Right.
It's very true. And I think one of the joys is that as people are living longer and healthier, is that there's the new grandparents, I think, view their roles differently and they view themselves differently. They're oftentimes more active. One of the largest areas of growth in the travel industry has been multi-generational travel. Older adults who want to take their grandchildren to see the world and explore it with them and see it through the wonder through their eyes, but also sharing how, these wonderful opportunities with them.
We are talking about grandparents. Yesterday was Grandparents' Day, but our guest says that we really can celebrate grandparents all year long. And we're talking about the big difference that grandparents can make in the lives of children and grandchildren, and other ways that we might bring generations together. And we're welcoming your questions. We're welcoming the ways you celebrated Grandparents' Day. How close are you to your grandparents or grandchildren? What are some of the favorite things you like to do together? Do you do things to reach across the generations in other ways, like volunteering, for example? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. And if that's not enough to think about, how about telling us something that you learned from your grandparents, or something you learned from your grandchildren? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, and we are celebrating grandparents this hour, in observation of Grandparents' Day, which was yesterday, but our guest says can really be celebrated all year long. She is asking grandparents to do something grand and grandchildren to also do something grand, do something that reaches across the generation divide. And we welcome your thoughts, your memories, the lessons you learned from your grandparents or your grandchildren. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. And you know, if you're a grandparent listening and you have a photo of you and your grandchild or your grandchild and you want to post it on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, just to boast a little bit, we'd love to see that too. That's the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We are talking with Donna Butts, Executive Director of Generations United. And Donna, do you have any special memories of your own grandparents?
Oh, I do, Joy. Similar to you, my grandparents are no longer alive, but one of the wonderful memories I have is my grandpa Butts, who lived in Kansas. And I would always make a point as I got older when I was working in the Midwest to go and visit with him. And we'd visit and have a wonderful time. And then about 4 in the afternoon, he'd get a twinkle in his eye and he'd say, "Donna, you want to go to Otto's and have a beer with me?" And so we'd walk down the alley to his favorite spot, and he'd be so proud to show off his granddaughter, and I'd get a chance to talk to all of his friends. And then we'd walk back to his house and have a lovely dinner. But it was just always so wonderful to hear him and see him and hear his stories.
That is so great. And you probably had an orange crush and not a beer when you were there.
Well, actually, by that time I was old enough, I would have what he called a wine.
Oh, okay. Yeah, my three of my grandparents passed away before I was even born, but I did get to know a little bit as a very young child my grandfather Primo, my father's father, and Primo was. Primo immigrated here from Italy and really spoke very broken English, but he was the first of twins. That's why his name was Primo. Primo and Segundo. So his parents were I guess pretty creative with naming, but he would make very very spicy spaghetti, and he would also give me what I remember he called knucklers, and that was where you just kind of roll your knuckles over the head of someone, and he did it very very gently, and it was it was just a very very sweet memory of Grandpa Primo. So
sounds wonderful.
Yeah, let's ask our listeners, do you have memories of your grandparents or things you learned from your grandparents? I learned how to, to some extent, make spaghetti from my grandfather. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. You know, I mentioned that you could post photos of yourself as a grandparent and your grandchild, but you know what? You can also post photos of your grandparent. If you're a grandchild listening, we'd like to see their photo and hear your special memory or tribute to them. Let's go to Dan in Eau Claire. Hi, Dan.
Hey, Joyce. Thanks for your show.
Yeah. What's your memory?
Well, when I was about 17, I was getting a little bit of trouble, so I had to go to the Challenge Academy, which is sort of a military boot camp experience. And, you know, it was a pretty tough place, and my grandma Carol, she wrote me a letter every single day I was there for the whole 6 months. So she kind of taught me to, to support family when they needed, and then helping me get through that helped launch my military career after that. So,
wow, how special! Every day you'd get a letter from your grandmother.
Every day I still have them. It's a pretty big stack. So,
do you still have your grandmother, Dan?
Yeah, I still do. Yep, she's like I think 65. So, yeah.
Oh, there we go. Only 65. Donna, a reaction?
Well, at 65, hopefully she'll be around for many, many more years. But what Dan's talking about is something that grandparents today can do, and I know several grandparents who do write a note or a letter to their grandchildren every day or almost every day, and then that becomes this wonderful memory album that child will have for the rest of their lives.
Yeah. You know, I also think it would be, I wish I would have done this when my grandparents were still alive. I suppose I could do it with my, someone could do it with their parents too. As a younger person, sort of collect those stories, maybe even tape record those stories and put together some sort of a family record with stories and memories and recipes and everything.
It's a wonderful way to create an album that helps to capture the family history. It's sort of a variation of a family tree. There's also a filmmaker who recently posted a video of his 9-year-old daughter interviewing her 90-year-old grandmother. His name is Josh Clemens, and it's on YouTube, but it's a wonderful video that shows this 9-year-old asking questions, and they're so engaged. She's learning about the history, about her relatives. So, as you said, whether you record it on tape, whether you do it on videotape, whether you do it through a Facebook, there are ways to capture those stories and memories and recipes that can really be wonderful to share.
1-800-642-1234. If you would like to share a memory of your grandparents, or if you're a grandparent and want to talk about a special grandchild, that's okay too. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We had a couple callers who just suddenly dropped, so call back if you can. We have an email from Anna who says, my favorite memory of a grandparent is actually of a woman who wasn't related to me by blood, but was an old friend of my father's and eventually my friend too. She had traveled the world when she was younger and always encouraged me to be adventurous and interested in discovery as she was. My only regret is that we didn't travel together. I think we would have had some great adventures. That's a wonderful, it doesn't have to be a grandparent, it can be a friend of the family.
No, I think that's a wonderful example because about 40 million grandparents back in 1980, and by 2020 there'll be 80 million grandparents, so the number's going to double. But then you have a number of people, including myself, who don't have children, but I have nieces and nephews and godchildren and neighbors, and it's really important for all of us, whether we have children or grandchildren, to make sure we're engaged in the lives of others and the younger generation stays engaged in ours.
Yeah, but that's true. I don't have children either, but I do have more nieces and nephews and grand nieces and nephews than I can even count. But why is it important that I stay in close contact with my grandnieces and nephews?
Well, for those of us that are on the older side of the equation, what's important is as we get older, we start to think about what Eric Erickson called generativity. What is it that I leave behind? I am what I leave behind. And we have a need to make sure that we have somehow had purpose or meaning in our lives. And oftentimes we do that by passing on some of the history, some of the life lessons to the next generation and helping them to flourish. It gives us hope for the future. We know that older adults who are engaged in children's lives feel more optimistic. They're less depressed. They take better care of themselves physically. They have a larger social network. They're more physically active, so they burn more calories. So it's just important for us to live an ungated life and be with other generations.
Nadine in Milwaukee is with us now. Hi, Nadine.
Hi. You were talking about memories of our grandparents, and my junior year in college, I went to live in Israel for a year, and when my grandfather heard that I was going to Israel, he was from Poland and came over during the Holocaust, and he was a very smart, self-made man, but he didn't have school learning. So he went, unbeknownst to any of us, he went back to a high school program, and learned to write English so he could write me letters. And I had these beautiful letters he wrote to me that were very phonetical, but they were written to me while I was in Israel.
Aww.
And I'm the only one who has letters written by him in the entire family.
Wow, how precious. Gosh. And
that's wonderful.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much for sharing that, Nadine. Well, it was very, very important to him, obviously, to stay in touch with his granddaughter. And what a important heirloom that is to have those letters. So thanks very much for the call. We have a caller who wanted to say that his grandfather took him to church every week, and now he has a brand new granddaughter. And he and his wife are planning to take her to church. He says that's the tradition in their family and the value that his grandfather instilled in him, and he wants to pass it on. So passing on that kind of a tradition, taking your grandchild to church. A reaction, Donna?
Oh, I think, yeah, to take your grandchild to church, especially, I remember my grandfather on my mother's side was a minister, and my great-grandfather was a minister. And the lessons that I learned from my grandfather and grandmother were incredible about the importance of being involved in your community life, your church life. They were actually very, very active in the peace movement as members of the church. So they taught me a lot of lessons, and I think that that's one of the things that your caller has talked about is how to talk about those values that you hold deeply and share those with your grandchildren.
We're going to check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll continue celebrating our grandparents and talking about the lessons we learned from our grandparents. Grandparents' Day was yesterday, but our guest says that we can celebrate our grandparents or grandparent-like figures in our life all year round. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Yesterday was Grandparents' Day, but our guest this hour says we can still do something grand. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 6:37 on this Monday, September 8th. We're discussing how important older adults and grandparents are to younger people and vice versa, and what we might do to bring generations together and learn from each other. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Donna Butts, Executive Director of Generations United. And before we go back to the phones, Donna, we touched on it in our first half hour, but when you say, let's do something grand, or we can still do something grand, give us some examples of what something grand might be.
Well, some of the things that we think are grand things to do together is when we talk about passing on values to another generation, is think about volunteering together. There might be a passion that your grandchild or your young friend has, whether it's animals or it's the environment or it's feeding people who are hungry, and help them to learn how to volunteer. Make that a regular part of what you might do together if you're in the same community. It might be doing something grand by teaching them how to cook. It's amazing how many people eat out now, and so for a young person to learn how to cook, whether it's an old family recipe, as you mentioned, Joy, learning how to make spaghetti sauce, or whether it's learning how to make a sweet treat or something that you want to help your grandchild to learn how to do. You can also help them to understand the value of money. It might be that what you do is set aside a small amount of money that together you decide you're going to donate to a particular cause, and they learn about philanthropy, they learn about that. But they also start to learn about money management, about the importance of saving, that if you save up, you'll be able to share or to get something that you want. So there are any number of factors. One I think more recently is if you want to share a healthy lifestyle, think about how many people are wearing those Fitbits and Fit bracelets now. Take your grandchild or a friend for a walk and talk about how many steps it is you're walking. Talk about why it is that you think it's important that you take care of yourself. That's a lifelong habit that an older person can share with a younger person.
Oh, what great ideas. What if the young person or the grandchild would much rather be hanging out with his or her own friends and maybe, oh, got to hang out with grandma today?
It's very interesting. One of the things that I think is changing among the generations is that grandparents are far more cool than they used to be. They're much more, they're what we find with millennials, for example, is that they actually like their parents and their grandparents. They enjoy spending time together. And so part of it is while there are those serious lessons that we want to be able to pass on, we all know that we learn better when we're laughing.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure that you're having fun together. Make sure that you're listening, asking open-ended questions. Don't ask questions that are just going to evoke a yes or no, because that'll be a really hard conversation to have. But find out what it is that they're interested in and go down that road with them.
Let's take some more calls. Joe in Chippewa Falls is with us. Hi, Joe.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm great. Sounds like you have an interesting story.
Well, I just wanted to share this one because I drive to work an hour plus now. I work for the Department of Corrections, so I see a lot of kids that aren't well-parented.
Mm-hmm.
Let's put it that way. But I got in. I was telling your person, I got into the game late. I'm almost 50 now. My wife was a cancer survivor, so it took us a long time to conceive. And so my parents died, but her parents are still alive. And they were there the day that my son was born. His name's Riley. And he's a very special little boy. And what happens is when grandma's coming over, or we're going over there, he starts, and we tell him, he's already counting the days. So there's a countdown that goes on religiously, and it happens every few weeks when we go over to see her or he goes over to see her. And it's a really special thing to watch, you know, how excited he gets. So I'm going to see grandma or grandpa. Grandpa passed away, and she wanted to have some, you know, get a dog. And she went up and she always has loved German Shepherd dogs, and she got a dog. She picked out a female named Greta near our house. And the day that they went to get Greta, Riley was in the car, and he's only about two and at that time. And the dog not only bonded with Grandma, but the dog anticipates coming over to see Riley.
Oh.
And so there's this mutual kind of thing that goes on between Riley and Grandma Marlene. I'll share her name. She may be listening. I woke her up this morning to hear this. So I wanted to share this special story. She's coming over today, and the countdown is down. And Riley's very excited, and then Riley gets to go back with Grandma Marlene to go stay with her for the weekend and stuff like that.
So beautiful.
I just wanted to share a little story. So I appreciate it. Bye-bye.
I'm glad you called. But Joe, thanks very much. How is that for beautiful, Donna?
Oh, that's absolutely wonderful. And what's great, too, is what you could hear is that, especially in losing the grandfather, the bond between Grandma Marlene and Riley is even stronger, because it gives them both a stronger connection with each other, and it's just marvelous that they have that opportunity. When it comes to the countdown, I was thinking about somebody I was watching their Facebook page yesterday, and they had her son wish a happy grandparents' day in very many different ways that she kept posting on Facebook. One was with having written it in chalk on the sidewalk. One was on a Scrabble board. One was out of Play-Doh. And they just kept posting these different pictures because, again, the grandparent doesn't live close by. But that countdown, the number of ways that you can connect, is wonderful.
Oh, that's so great. Is there ways that parents can facilitate relationships between their children and their parents?
Yes, they can make a point of making sure, just as your caller did, making sure that they have regular times with their grandparents. They obviously make the effort to set up the time, to drive the distance, to make sure that they're connected. But I remember when I was growing up and my grandparents lived in another state, and we would sit around a tape recorder together and say, "Hi, Grandma and Grandpa, I went to school today."
Mm-hmm.
You know, we do those. You know, we do these tapes, and then my grandparents would send tapes back to us. So even back in those days, my parents made sure that we stayed connected with our grandparents.
I just think that's lovely, and I'm thinking of a little, you know, 2-year-old boy. so excited to see grandma. I mean, I'm just, what do you suppose is going on there? I mean, that bond that they must have.
It's that bond they have. Some people describe it, and although I usually don't, as having, a common enemy because they can skip a generation. The wonderful thing about being a grandparent is, in most cases, you're not the parent, so you can love them, you can spoil them, and you can send them home. Even when you think about the current White House, when the Obamas moved into the White House, Mrs. Robinson, Michelle Obama's mother, moved in with them to help them with the responsibilities of caring for their children. And while she had responsibilities for making sure they got to school, did their homework, she also would get a twinkle in her eye and say, "And it's time for ice cream now."
Wonderful. We are talking with Donna Butts, Executive Director of Generations United. Donna Butts is encouraging all of us to do something grand in honor of Grandparents' Day, which was yesterday, but to continue to do this all year long, talking about the big difference that grandparents can make in the lives of children and vice versa, and things that we can do to bring generations together and help each other and learn from each other. And we welcome your memories. We welcome your questions. We welcome any celebrations or tributes that you would like to share about your grandparents or your grandchildren. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are celebrating grandparents during this hour in honor of Grandparents' Day, which was yesterday. Did you celebrate with a grandparent or a grandchild? Let us know what you do together as grandparents and grandchildren or an older adult with someone younger. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, talking with Donna Butts, Executive Director of Generations United. Dan in Hayward is our next caller. Hi, Dan. Thanks for waiting.
Hello. I was a boy around 8 years old. My grandfather towered over me, and he was a short man. He said, "Your grandmother doesn't understand, nor your father. You have a chance to understand." His words were, "Money is not the most important thing." I said, "What is?" He replied, "Like being able to do things." He turned around and walked away. My grandfather's words, "Money is not the most important thing."
And that stuck with you the rest of your life, Dan.
It certainly did.
Yeah. And how did that affect you? I mean, I'm just curious, Dan. I mean, it just means that love and happiness and relationships are more important than the almighty dollar?
It's never been the chief object of my life. Mm-hmm. The chief object was to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. and everything falls away.
Yeah. So we learned about money isn't everything, Donna.
Those are really important lessons, and sometimes we don't realize how something very simple that we say resonates with somebody who's younger than us. But those are the kinds of lessons and linchpins in life that young people are looking for. They're looking for that foundation that older adults help them to build so that they can have a productive, a fruitful, and meaningful life.
Thanks again, Dan. Annie in DeSoto is with us now. Hi, Annie.
Hi. I just wanted to share that my husband and I have been co-parenting with our daughter, who's a single mom, and our grandson lives with us most of the time, and we really enjoy having him around. And when I come home from work or when my husband has to go pick him up from daycare, he just, like, lights up. And it's just so great to have that experience.
I'm so glad you called in, Annie, because I wanted to talk some with Donna about talk about being important in your grandchild's life. A lot more grandparents are helping to raise their grandchildren, aren't they, Donna?
They are, and it's so wonderful that you're there for your daughter and for your grandson. There are almost 7 million children in this country that are being raised all or in part by their grandparents. And we say that they're doing something grand every day because they're really making a difference in those children's lives by helping to be that extra support that they need or the only support that they need. And they save our country millions of dollars by being there, by stepping in. But they also hold our families together. So thank you for everything that you're doing.
Thank you, Annie, for calling, too. Patty on Facebook says, some grandparents struggle with technology. Grandchildren need to be sensitive to that and pick up their phones and call their grandparents once in a while, even if they don't have anything particular to say.
Well, I understand that sentiment. And one of the wonderful things about intergenerational programs and intergenerational practices is that grandchildren can be patient and help teach their grandparents as well or other older adults how to use technology. We have supported a number of programs around the country, and AARP, through their Mentor Up program, has as well, where young people are the teachers, that they have something valuable to share with older adults, and when given the opportunity and support, they can be very patient and they can help older adults learn. It's just also a fact of life that we all communicate differently as technology changes, and it'd be great if they would pick up the phone, but sometimes we have to meet each other halfway and text.
Yeah, I love it. I wish I would have taken a picture of my my husband, who just recently retired, and my niece, who I actually called and had her come over, and she showed him how to do a number of things on the computer that he needed for his new vocation following his retirement. He's a yoga teacher, and he needed to download music, and he needs to put together playlists for yoga classes, and she showed him how to do that, showed him how to use iTunes and all the different things that he needed to know. And he's just he's a pro at it now. It just took a couple of hours helping him out.
And isn't that wonderful? Can you imagine how good that felt to her to know that she had a skill to share with somebody?
Yeah.
And to share in his joy as he was learning? It's wonderful. That's why intergenerational connections they're reciprocal. It's not just one giving and one receiving. It goes both ways.
Kathy in Sun Prairie is with us now. Hi, Kathy.
Good morning. I would just like to share an experience that I had this past summer with my grandson, and that is called Grandparents University. It was started on the UW-Madison campus. It's for children aged 7 to 14, and you get to pick majors and spend 2 days on campus with your grandchild. Completely wonderful experience. Getting children engaged in the university setting and in majors that are interesting and challenging. And also there's a program out of the University of Michigan, and I think it's called something like Grandparents Teach, that has some very wonderful ideas on interacting with our grandchildren. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Kathy. I saw some people posting photos on Facebook from Grandparents University. Did you take part in that?
I did.
Yeah, and so I'm sorry, go ahead, Kathy.
I didn't send pictures to Facebook this morning, but I was at UW Green Bay this past summer with my grandchild.
Yeah, it's really quite interesting where you... it looks like a grandparent and grandchild are going to school together. And you know, I don't know, I saw pictures hanging out in the dorms together and everything. Doesn't that sound great, Donna?
It sounds wonderful. I really love some of the things that universities, colleges, museums, libraries, community institutions are doing to making sure that they open their doors up to all generations and to encourage generations to connect. In fact, this past year, Generations United and the MetLife Foundation, we honor best intergenerational communities around the country. Last year we honored four, and one of them was the village of Shorewood, Wisconsin.
Oh, right in our backyard here.
Right in your backyard, because they have really intentionally had intergenerational symposiums, intergenerational planning groups. They really look at how they can make all aspects of their community welcoming and open for intergenerational connections.
Great. Let's go back to the phones. Teresa in Melrose. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I would just like to make a comment about great-grandparents. My mom has 14 great-grandchildren. She is 87 years old, and she keeps track of every single one of them. Over the, they are ages, I should say, from 14 down to about 10 months. But over the years then, especially the last year and a half, for his birthday time, she writes them, she makes up an individual poem. And it's very personal, very, very much to who they are or what they may be doing or taking or studying or their interest at the time. Well, when she turned 87 this last August, her only request was that each one of them write her a poem back. And when the youngest three are under two, so that doesn't count, but the rest of them all delivered a little poem, and it was very heart-touching, and they also know their great-grandma so well. I'm the one in the middle. I'm the grandma between the two. But I think that the great-grandparents have so much to share, and if you are lucky enough to still have one in your life, it would be very. It's very important that your grandchildren know their great-grandparents.
Oh, wow, yeah. You rah-rah great-grandparents, too, Donna.
Oh, it's wonderful. And that's one of the great things about how we have increased the life expectancy and health quality of life of people in this country, is that now children benefit because they have great-grandparents, they have great-aunts, they have great-uncles. The family has really increased in terms of the number of generations, and it's we should celebrate that.
Yeah, we have just a minute to go. Something we might be able to do today to do something grand?
Well, there are a number of things, but I would say to reach out and say hello to that young neighbor, that older neighbor, check in on each other, make sure that you stay in touch. If you haven't talked to your grandparents or your grandchild or your great-grandparents or grandchild, call them, text them, send them an email, but stay in touch with them and just check in on how they are and ask them what the day is for them.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Donna Butts is Executive Director of Generations United, and we have a link to Generations United's website on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page if you would like to check out some other ideas on doing something grand to celebrate our grandparents and to cross the generational divide. Thanks very much to Christy Taylor for producing and directing this program. Thanks very much for listening. I hope you stay tuned. Much more to come tomorrow at this time. As more millennials find employment, how can we navigate the generation gap in the workplace? We'll talk with a guest who has advice for the workplace generation gap coming up tomorrow at this time. And stay with us. It's our State Capitol Report, talking about raising the minimum wage in Wisconsin, coming up next. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.